We are in the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans, chapter 14. And I want you to, we're going to begin because we didn't quite finish what we were dealing with last week. But we are dealing with these principles. And a principle is a basic truth that applies to all areas of life. And that is so important that we understand that if God had written a Bible that encompassed every possible problem that could happen in our lives from the day of its writing to the day of the coming of Christ, we'd have a pretty big Bible. And so God doesn't necessarily address every item, but he does address several items. But sometimes what he addresses are presented to us in the form of a principle. We have dealt with, for instance, the principle of faith. And we see this, if you go there, Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And it tells us in that verse that he that doubteth is damned if he eat. That doesn't mean you'll go to hell. It just means that you will suffer terrible consequences because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So there's this principle of faith. And if you doubt it, you know, it's best for you just to not do whatever you're doubting until you know it's okay to do it. And truly, we have this principle of faith. We saw, secondly, the principle of personal harm. And we saw that we have to be very, very careful that we do not allow anything in our lives that would hurt us, whether it be physically. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. So therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, if you remember what we said about glorifying Sunday morning, glorifying means bringing out the excellencies of God. And we always want to give the right opinion about God. We do not want to allow things that misrepresent God. And so the scripture tells us to glorify God in your bodies. And so to allow anything in your body that would hurt you, then certainly God says, you know, you should stay away from that. There is not only the physical harm that we can hurt ourselves, but mentally harmful. And we're told in Philippians 4 and verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're told in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity, you know what it says? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we need to be careful that anything that we mentally entertain, if it is not glorifying to God, then obviously we should stay away from that. Then we should avoid hurting ourselves spiritually, which is kind of where we're at in this next principle, or the one I'm going to deal with tonight. There was the principle of addiction, which tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, that all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. So we have to be careful anything that we allow in our lives that's addicting. And now, addiction in the sense of something that is wrong to be addicted to. We're told in the scriptures they were addicted to the ministry. Well, you know, there is a sense in which we should develop habitual habits of serving the Lord. But habitual habits that are wrong to us, we need to avoid. So we have been dealing, and this is the third, and I'm going to try to finish this evening. The principle of being a stumbling block. The principle of being a stumbling block. And we looked at this whole idea of Romans chapter 14. If you look at verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another in any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block. And that means we don't want to trip anybody up with something that we allow or an occasion to fall. Now that is the word, we get the word scandal. So we do not want to cause or invite or entice somebody to sin. And he says that we should not put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall or an occasion to sin in his brother's way. So we have been looking at this fact that we have to be careful, and this is something I just keep repeating. You know, sometimes people say, well, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, there is a sense in which we ought to understand that there are things that we should not worry about what people think. And according to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul says, I do not please men, I please Christ. And in other words, what he is saying there, I'm not going to worry about what people think. On the other hand, he points out in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 11, that we should be concerned about what people think. So 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12 talks about having your conduct honest among unbelievers, that when they look at your good works, they will glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, we do not want to cause somebody else to stumble because of something wrong that we've done. So I know for a fact that unsaved people, they may not have any problem with cursing. But some of them understand that Christians shouldn't do that. And so as a result of that, sometimes, you know, I had a boss many years ago. He was a regular church attender, and he hired me to work at a gas station. And he would teach Sunday school class. And he would come into church with like a stack of commentaries, you know. And man, you look at him, whoa, he's very spiritual. Well, he was my boss. And here we are around unsaved people. And I played softball with these guys and so forth. And one time, this guy I'm telling you started cursing. Well, I was taken back by it. But you know who else was taken back by it? The unsaved guys that I was working with. What did you say? So their estimation of influence on him was limited because of some wrong action. So he should have been careful about that. So we came to this conclusion. We came to this conclusion when we are doing that which is right, and people criticize us, don't worry about it. Just keep doing right. But if we are doing something that is wrong, we need to be careful or perceived as wrong. And that's a very careful thing in light of what we're talking about here. So, as a result, we were looking at the fact that according to Romans chapter 14, there were issues that were not necessarily wrong in themselves, but they were perceived as wrong. And in Romans chapter 14, those issues were, first of all, if you remember, it had to do with certain things that they ate. And it's interesting, in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, that there were Jews that thought, that were converted, that thought, man, it's still wrong to eat certain meats. And that was a big issue for the Jewish people to come to the realization that, you know, it really isn't that big a deal if I eat pork. to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, no big deal. But to the Jews, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. And they were, in a sense, acting as if they were vegetarians. Now, we went through this. I don't have time to go back through this. But there was that issue. The second issue that really wasn't wrong in itself, and yet some perceived it to be wrong, was the issue of what worshiping of special days and feasts. And we saw that in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, that there were some that said, well, you know, you can, you need to worship on a certain day. And of course, this comes sometimes into an issue when you're dealing with people who are Sabbath day worshipers. And so as a result, there were some that said it's good and some that said, I mean, you should do it this day. And some say you should do it this day. And we saw that there were some principles. Now, I want to just give you the rest of these. We mentioned, first of all, the thing that we have to understand when we're dealing with other Christians is number one. Now, get this. We are not an island. And someone says, well, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Well, wait a minute. You know, was it Billy Sunday that said that, my freedom with my arms is good until it meets my brother's nose? So in other words, there is a sense when we see in chapter 14, verse 7, none of us lives to himself, no man dieth to himself. So in other words, sometimes it does matter that I am going to be influencing other people. You say, I don't want to influence anybody. Well, you are. Whether you're a parent, whether it's a job, whether you're a neighbor, you are going to be an influence. And that's why Jesus, didn't he tell us you are the salt of the earth? Didn't he say you are the light of the world? So there is a sense in which we have to understand we do affect other people. Number two, we saw that regardless, every individual is going to have to answer to God. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now you and I may not always agree on everything. Now I never could figure out why anybody would disagree with me. You know, it's tough when you're the person that's always right and everybody else is wrong. Now, I say that facetiously, but can you imagine Jesus? Jesus was always right. But it is interesting, though, that you know we may not agree on things, but you know what? You're going to have to answer to God. I'm going to have to answer to God. I'm not your judge. You're not my judge. God is our judge. So the conclusions you come to, make sure they are right with God. And that you're not just ignoring God. The third thing we saw is that don't hurt others by your practice. If you look there at chapter 14, verse 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. Now, so in other words, here's a guy who says, well, I don't see anything wrong with eating pork. And that Jewish friend says, man, that's wrong. And he said, how can you be in love, say you love them charitably and yet could care less what your brother thinks? And you destroy, and here's the point, verse 15, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So in other words, what we're going to find is sometimes people, because of the pressure, now isn't pressure interesting? Social pressures are very strong. And somebody who thinks it's wrong to do something because of the social pressure of a friend or some church or whatever it may be, does something that really goes against their conscience. Remember we said whatsoever is not of faith is what? See? So if they do something that goes against their faith And I persuaded them to do it even though they shouldn't have, or didn't feel like they should do it. I have caused my brother to sin. Now we can deny that all we want, but that's reality. And this is what Paul is dealing with. The fourth thing, and I didn't deal with this, is don't cause others to sin. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother trips up or is scandalized or is made weak. So we have to understand we do not want to cause others to do wrong. And then, of course, as we've been pointing out, verse 23, don't hurt your, don't hurt the conscience of another. Now, I told you I want to finish this up this evening because we only have so much time in, after our prayer time. So what could have been one sermon, I've broken it down into three sermons. But let me just say that there's a third issue in the New Testament that is kind of considered, in a sense, and you hear this word adiaphora, which means something that is indifferent in itself. And there are people that say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's immoral. And yet, to some people, it is moral. So the third thing, we mentioned certain meats. We mentioned certain Jewish days. Thirdly, you have the idea of eating meats offered to idols. Anybody know where that's at? Very good. Close. Chapter 8. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Very good. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I just want to take a few minutes to walk through this. Because again, this is a classic example of how something that is in itself not wrong, but yet somehow people perceive it as wrong. As a matter of fact, I have done this in the history of our church. I've actually divided people over this issue. I've said, okay, this is this problem. And most people, especially when we first started our church, people didn't know their Bible. So I would say, this is the issue. How many think it's right? Half would say right. How many think it's wrong? Half would say wrong. So, what was the issue? Chapter 8, verse 1. In chapter 8, verse 1, now it's touching things offered to idols. Now, what is this? What do you mean, things offered to idols? Now, there is a sense in which we have to understand that there was in the days of the Corinthian church, and that you actually had, and let me read Ryrie here. He says that there were animals sacrificed to an idol. Okay? Name an idol. We were talking about what? Baal, Zeus. We were talking about Zeus Sunday morning. Okay, so let's say, for instance, somebody made an animal sacrifice to Baal. All right? Now, you go bebopping into the grocery store, and you don't even realize that, or maybe you do realize, that some of that meat that's on sale, you know, a good hamburger on sale, that meat would have been offered to Baal. So the question is, was it wrong for Christians to eat that meat? Now some of you are like, I don't know. Of course, unless you know the passage, you're going to say, I'm not sure. Well, this is what he's dealing with. Some people were saying, I don't have a problem with eating it. It's meat. Somebody else says, how can you eat something that's been offered to an idol? Well, chapter 8, verse 1 says, as touching things offered unto idols. He says, we know that we all have knowledge. So everybody has an opinion, right? And this guy over here says, man, I know that's wrong. And somebody over here says, I know it's not wrong. So, what does he do? He says, you know, knowledge, it's good to have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge says, I'm right and I don't care about you. So, he says, in contrast to knowledge that puffs up, makes you proud, he says, charity, now that's the word that we have agape love. See, this is the same book that has the love chapter. In 1 Corinthians 13, charity is speaking of love. Now, knowledge says, I'm right, and I don't care what you think. Charity says, I may be right, but I care about what you think. And it's an interesting thing because he says it edifieth. So in other words, what is my responsibility as a Christian? I don't care what you think. Or is my responsibility is to build you up in the faith? Now, it's interesting because we find that he corrects this. Now, we find out Paul's opinion on this issue in this chapter in verse 4. He says, concerning thereof, eating those things that are offered, the sacrifice of idols. He says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. You know, what's an idol? I mean, it's just a statue or something. It's not a god. And he says, we know that an idol, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 8, is nothing in the world. And that there is only one God. Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, which are in heaven or in earth, verse 6, but to us there is but one God and one Lord. Verse 7, howbeit, even though that is true, not everyone has that knowledge. Now here we come to the conscience thing again. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. So they think, well, I don't think it's right, but you know, everybody's putting pressure on me. I'll go ahead and do it anyway. What have he done? His conscience is defiled. And if your conscience is defiled, according to Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it is sin. Now, verse 8, meat doesn't commend me to God, neither if I don't eat does it. You know, so in other words, I have a little bit more option than the guy who has a weak conscience. Because whether I eat it, fine, or if I don't eat it, fine. But the fact that it could influence somebody to do the wrong thing, it's bad. So that's why he says in verse 9, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, here it is, become a stumbling block. And verse 10, for if any man see there which hath knowledge, see thee that hath knowledge sit at meat in the temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Now, if people didn't let others influence them, they would say, no, I think it's wrong. I'll take a stand. But a lot of people don't have that kind of guts. A lot of people, oh well, I guess that's what I should do. So he tells us, verse 12, and when ye sin so against the brethren, ye and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, here's the conclusion he comes to. If meat make my brother to offend. Now, I want you to understand, and I said this last week, to offend does not mean it bothers some people. you're always going to bother people. But to offend is to cause somebody to sin. And as a result, he says, if it's going to cause my brother to offend or sin, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, that is the principle. Let me give you one application of that. Some people say, I don't see any problem with social drinking. Think about this. So I stand up here and I say, yeah, I drink a little bit, but I can control it. And let's say I can control it. And I have somebody out there that says, well, my pastor drinks. And that person that sees me drink becomes an alcoholic. What have I done? I have caused my brother to sin. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this. There is this principle of being a stumbling block. And since there is a sense in which I can cause somebody to trip up in his faith, then Paul says it'd be better for me, even if I didn't see anything wrong with it, to stay away from it, so that I do not cause my brother to offend. What a principle. It's a big principle. Because it is not so much an issue of how much I know or what my opinion is. It's an issue of, do I really care about what I do? Is it going to influence my children to go wrong? Is it going to influence my Sunday school class to go wrong? Is it going to cause somebody that's under my influence to go wrong? I never want, Paul says, as long as the world stands, as right as I might be on an issue, I would not want to cause somebody to sin. Now, Lord, we definitely need your grace and discernment on these things, because sometimes we get the idea that our conclusions are all-encompassing. But the fact is, Lord, you know that sometimes our ideas can get in the way of hurting somebody else. And Lord, keep us in your grace to do those things which are not only glorifying to you, that would not only do those things that would help us to be strong in our conscience, and that we would not want to be hurt physically or mentally or spiritually, that we would not be addicted to anything, and that we would not allow anything in our lives knowingly that would cause our brother to stumble. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. 4:00 Saturday. We'll see you there. It'll be a lot of fun, so I hope you'll be there.